Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
This country is long overdue for a discussion about the tragic intersection of an over-militarized law enforcement establishment with people of color.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's constitution.
Fighting for you.
I recently got married and I've turned my wife, who's a rabid Boise State fan, into a Paul Feinbaum fan.
Well, I want to congratulate you, Kevin. I mean, you were Birmingham's most eligible bachelor 15 years ago, and I'm surprised it took this long in Idaho.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, Dave Pezzo on his way. And coming up, we will, we'll talk to our great friend Jeff Manasso. Here at 580 KIDO, live from St. Louis, with the latest on the Ferguson, Missouri situation. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Well, you've been at a lot of these events. What's it like there on the ground?
Well, you know, when you talk to people who live in Ferguson, people part of the community, they're going to tell you that the narrative in the media that it's protests that turn violent and that, you know, members of the community are violent couldn't be further from the case, from the truth. What they tell us is that, you know, these protesters that are taking to the streets, they're largely peaceful during the day. But when night falls, you've got these outside opportunists, agitators, criminals, thugs, as they're described by people in the community, who come in and they take advantage of this situation. And there was more looting last night. 5 businesses were trashed. 7 people were arrested. They provoked the police. The police show up in big numbers and you know, people come out, the agitators, to try and provoke them, and throwing Molotov cocktails at them last night. Rocks, firing shots, and of course police had to respond with tear gas and smoke bombs and rubber bullets to disperse the crowd. Emergency curfews are still in effect, at least they were last night, and the night before remains to be seen if that continues tonight, but Missouri Governor Jay Nixon has called in the National Guard, so now troops will be guarding the streets in Ferguson, in this town in middle America.
Jeff Manasso with us in St. Louis at 580 KIDO from Fox News Radio. How safe do you feel down there?
I'm in St. Louis, so I feel really safe. But I'm going to be heading back up to Ferguson here shortly. And, you know, I feel fine. I don't feel unsafe. And if things get out of control, a little out of hand, then, you know, I'll know when to say when and to back down and to get out of there. But there are a lot of police there. There are a lot of security forces there that are trying to keep the peace. And like I said, most of the people there, are peacefully protesting and they want justice. They want justice for the wrong that they feel happened, almost a week and a half ago. Or so, a little less than a week and a half ago, against Michael Brown. They feel that he was murdered, but we'll find out. And the second autopsy has been done. First one by the state, second one was a private autopsy, third one will be conducted by the Department of Justice. But this second autopsy, done by famed Dr. Michael Bodden, and he's going to give us the details a little bit later on this morning. I'm going to be heading up to a church in Ferguson, where a press conference is called from the Brown family, their attorney. They called Dr. Bodden to do this. And what's reportedly going to be told to us is that Michael Brown was shot 6 times, twice in the head, 4 times in the arm, but every bullet entered his body in the front part of his body. And none at close range. And those 2 pieces of information are vital, because if you go back to what we heard from the alleged witness, one alleged witness in particular, Dorian Johnson, the friend of Michael Brown, who says that he was shot point blank just outside the police car when the officer and Michael Brown got in their first confrontation, that he was shot in the face point blank. Apparently, this autopsy is going to show that that didn't happen. And apparently, this autopsy is going to show that Michael Brown was not shot as he ran away from the police officer being struck in the back, as this alleged witness claims happened. So a lot of details trickle out in the beginning and kind of shaped and formed the narrative of what we know. We'll know a little bit more later on from this this autopsy report. But if that's the case, it really conflicts with what some witnesses are telling us.
Jeff, final thought. Can you describe the damage in Ferguson?
You know, it's sporadic. It's spread out a little bit on a cluster of streets, and you know, some of the businesses that we've seen are pretty badly damaged. Some of them burned out slightly, and windows are trashed, it looks pretty bad. But you know, we're seeing many businesses with boarded windows. Even after last night, people went and started looting a convenience store that's since been boarded up. But clearly there's damage and destruction in this town.
Jeff Manasso, please be very careful. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Jeff Manasso, live in St. Louis, on his way to Ferguson, Missouri, once again, exclusively here at 580KIDO. Dave Pezzo in studio now, and Dave Pezzo is here to talk a little bit about the markets. And first off, here's a big deal that the dollar store industry is blowing up. You've got Dollar General offering $9.7 billion for Family Dollar. Who says consolidation isn't good?
Well, yeah, you're right. Neither of them are doing that well, so maybe together they'll be a lot better.
Well, but we're seeing this all across the country where we have mergers and acquisitions happening. Is this good for the consumer, particularly when we talk about the airlines, and we haven't talked about them in a while, how it relates to us here in the Treasure Valley, Dave Pezzo, where you have American and U.S. Air becoming one. A lot of people say that's going to be good for us, but is bigger better when it comes to choice and value for the consumer?
No, not at all. Now, don't get me wrong. First of all, the dollar store thing is completely different because we have so many stores. You know, I've talked about this going back several years.
Right.
We have too many of everything. I mean, we really do. There's no way that you'd need all of these department stores. I mean, how many white shirts do people need to buy? So there are plenty of outlets for those dollar stores. There's plenty. This isn't going to affect the consumer. But when you have airlines that are shrinking the number of seats available, the competitive position is diminished greatly. These airlines, the ticket prices are going up. That is not good for the consumer. But overall, the airlines are doing much better. And, this is the first time airlines have been doing well in my entire career. This is a basket case of companies. So this is not all bad, but it is not good for the consumer. Not at all, Kevin.
Considering they still get a subsidy from the government because we have to have so many planes flying in case there's a natural emergency. We talked a little bit about this kind of off the beaten path on Saturday here. And the idea that Atlantic City is taking a beating because of the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of people that love to go to Reno, love to go to Jackpot, love to go to Wild Horse, love to go to Vegas out in the West. But it seems as if what's happening in the East and could percolate over here is that you have these, for lack of a better term, mom-and-pop casinos popping up everywhere. And instead of going to Vegas, instead of going to Reno, people are going to, let's say, Jackpot or Wild Horse or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for, I guess, the gaming industry? You go to Reno quite a bit.
Yeah, if you look at Reno, and I have a good number of friends there as well, it's devastating what's happened to Reno. But there's twofold, and you just talked about the airlines. One is that Southwest quit having routine flights there from California in particular. That's a big market over there, San Jose, Sacramento. Yeah, I can't name all the routes, but
right.
but out of the Bay Area, they used to have flights coming in consistently all day long, and they don't anymore. And so people could get inexpensive flights across. Well, if that's the case, then maybe they go to a place like Reno. Otherwise, if they have to drive 4 hours versus drive 30 minutes, they're going to drive 30 minutes to the local. And they really aren't ma and pa casinos when they're in these big areas. Wild Horse, isn't that the one in, like, or Pendleton or something?
Yeah, Pendleton.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's real. It's real. That is a small one. But some of these are just huge. In fact, the largest casino in the country, I believe, is an Indian casino in Connecticut. It's Foxwoods. Foxwoods. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, obviously that's not a little mom and pop. They're some of these are so big, and they have everything that a place like Reno has. So economically, it's been devastating. Their gaming is down consistently year after year after year, probably for the past 10 years. So the industry's been spreading out. It's good for the slot machine makers as they produce new places. Very, very bad for the casinos themselves.
Right, but do you ever think that we will ever see that here in Idaho? Many people, you know, they love to go to the jackpot.
Yep.
They live for the jackpot. Could we ever see that here? And I will tell you, in Pennsylvania, first it started in Pittsburgh, and it was just slot machines. And then it was slot machines that resemble poker. Then it was the computer slot machines. And then it was actually real-life poker. And then Cleveland got one. And
right.
Now you see this across the country. Could we one day see a casino here in Idaho, in Boise?
Kevin, you know, I said I hope not, and I do hope not. It's not that far if you want to go gaming, and it brings a lot of problems. We know that. It's very addictive for some people. It's a huge problem for families. But the answer is, yeah, I think we probably will. And we already have one over in Pocatello, I think. Pocatello area, the Blackfoot.
Right.
That certainly is just a warehouse with crummy slot machines and where smokers hang out. And
people
I don't
seem
mean
to
that
love those
derogatory,
things,
but yeah. But these places, this is not the same thing. People go in there, have no expectation of winning anything. It's the payouts are very, very poor. And but you get more of a gaming, what am I trying to say here? The amenities to gaming. Yeah, and it sucks people back more often.
Well, right, and you have people in Reno that if you go there once and you have a good time, they'll send you the incentive packages to come back or Vegas.
Absolutely.
And you don't really see they have this at the mom and pop. What would it do to our economy? Many people think that this is a great source of revenue to have the gaming industry in their city, in their town. I mean, my favorite thing is that part of the agreement when these folks come to town is they have to spend money on rehabilitation programs for gamblers, and they have to run disclaimers during their commercials to let you know how bad
really
it
silly.
Is. Right.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's really silly. Politicians just – there's never enough money for things, and so whatever for their constituents. And so it doesn't matter if you gave them $1 billion. They wouldn't think it was enough. So what they do is they're always looking for sources of revenue, and you're right. This is one that is a reasonable source. Nevada clearly has a low tax base, or you know they have zero income taxes, partly because of the gaming revenues. Okay?
Right.
But at the same time, Kevin, there's a whole host of problems that come with that. It's a social structure that breaks down when dad or mom or both are out all night gambling and not taking care of the kids, not raising the kids. It's a whole host of issues that come up throughout the society. It is not free at all. It's not free money. It's not easy money. It's difficult money because it is a problem for a lot of these communities.
I'll tell you what,
I like to gamble. I like it. I enjoy it. It's fun, but it's a circumstance that gets to a lot of people.
You'd be like our James Bond out there.
Yeah.
I
would need the proper clothes. Yeah.
I almost lost Mrs. Miller in Reno. She disappeared to play the slots and got
and that
lost.
Was it.
That was it.
Hey, you know, actually, women do have I can just see the women out there now getting upset.
That's Dave Petzo. Hold on, Dave Petzo.
It actually was, I'll get it in a minute, South Dakota or South, no, it wasn't South Dakota, it was South Carolina, banned the video poker machines.
Why?
So they had all this revenue was coming in. They found that people were hanging out in there all night and then burning out the family money.
But
it was so bad for the society.
I thought you were
going
to say something about women.
I am. I'm getting around to it. It's video poker that women apparently have a particular affinity for.
Do they have a skill for it?
Well, the skill is pretty strict. I don't know if they have a skill for it or not, Kevin. I do know that they're...
You brought up the topic, Dave, so I'm just reporting.
You're asking... Right? The question has nothing to do with the point that particularly something in the female brain is very addictive to a video poker machine.
Well, if you can grab your headphones...
According to 60 Minutes.
If you can get your headphones for a minute, I'm going to share something with you here.
All right.
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
Well, I wouldn't deny that.
Wow. All right. Much more coming up with Dave Petzo here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, 580 KIDO, Dave Petzo with us. And Dave, you're going to have to get the headphones on because we have a question about casinos. You're our casino magnate.
Really? We're all in trouble then.
I know. Aren't the markets like the casinos?
No, they're not.
I knew you would let that slip. All right, we go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Mr. Petzl.
Good morning.
I'm totally against casinos, but if they do casinos, I would like to do see it done right. You know, with their little city unto themselves and an area unto themselves, rather than integrated right into the streets of any city or mm-hmm. community, or they're in the outskirts, then I guess I could somewhat sympathize with their plight. But and they do bring in a lot of tax money, but they do bring in a lot of corruption, and they do bring in a lot of people that go into poverty because of their addictions. My second question was...
That was a statement. That wasn't a question.
No, it wasn't. That was kind of a question statement. So my next question was... Senator Crapo is running again, and I'm concerned that the same people keep getting voted in over and over. I talked to Mr. Crapo on Miller's show and asked him when the ag bill went through, why he didn't put Idaho down when he had the opportunity to be able to grow hemp when it's used in 56,000 products in the United States. And Canada has been begging the U.S. to build hemp plants because we import all our hemp. But now there were 14 senators, governors that worked together in the United States. They got that through in the bill, and now they're allowed to grow hemp, and the universities are allowed to study certain things of the hemp, not cannabis now, hemp that's used in so many products in the United States. And Mr. Crapo knew nothing about it in the bill at the time of the question.
Okay, what does this have to do with Dave Petzo?
Well, Mr. Petzl and I are firm believers in industry and growth, and his answer was, Idahoans don't want hemp. I would love to have hemp in here and be able to grow hemp on some acreage that I have. And each plant...
You know what's coming next, don't you?
Each plant employs 220 people.
One, two, three.
What's coming next?
Ah!
Anyway,
All right, Dave, let's talk a little bit about the markets. How are we doing?
We're up, and it's going to be up again today. Last week was good. I don't know, Kevin, why everybody is so super negative on the market.
I understand. To be negative. It keeps us warm at night.
Well, I know. But you're the best curmudgeon I know.
Can I be a friendly curmudgeon?
You are a friendly curmudgeon. You are.
There we go.
You are. No, I know. We're all wired kind of negative, and we'll all look at the geopolitical news, and we're just freaked out by it. But it is amazing to me that as soon as the market goes down a couple percentage points, how many people pile on that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And this whole talk of all of the news being rehashed and rehashed, and it's always negative, helps to keep people out. And it's very frustrating because it's very difficult for people to get into the market. It turns, it goes higher, it pulls back a couple points, the noise gets real loud, people stay out. And so it's one of those things where, Kevin, the basics of the market, stay in, just keep investing. Stay in, stay in, stay in, and quit listening to all of the negative monologues.
Well, I think the issue here is people still haven't forgot 2008 when, let's hope that's the worst that we ever go through when
right.
we're driving down Fairview or Capitol or wherever else. And, I mean, there are just no jobs, and people just lost a ton of money. So mm-hmm. they're still hesitant to get back in.
Well, they are. But, again, the market is up threefold since then. And I don't know what you hesitate, because when we look back historically, there's been a number of things. I ran through kind of a historic look at things this past weekend. We talk about World War II as if it was not really a big deal. Fighting a major war on two fronts. Just, it's no big deal. Markets bounce back after that. We talk about politics being terrible today when we look at the 1970s. And Richard Nixon, followed by, are you ready for this? Jimmy Carter, the great economist, Jimmy Carter. We had really about 10 years where it was just so bad, absolutely horrible economically in this country. We think it's really difficult out there. Hey, Dave, there's really inflation out there. I get it. There is a little bit of inflation, but it's not double digit like it was in the 1970s. We had gas lines. We had a Soviet Union that was a major superpower and was rolling tanks up in Central America. It was a real deal problem. We had to spend a lot of money just fighting them. We act like that's just not a big deal. But today, today's problems is just overwhelming. We'll never get through this.
But in respect, there are problems that we are dealing with based on the lack of jobs, the lack of real jobs. And as you point out, every Saturday from 8 to 10 with Money Matters at 580KIDO, I mean, you have the unemployment, then you have the real unemployment, and then you have the idea that now we've decided to cook the books and we're throwing part-time jobs in.
Yeah.
It's the, hey, everybody, the economy's well, great.
Yep.
Let's throw in part-time jobs to the...
Kevin, it should be a lot better, and we need to pay attention. I'm not saying that that everything's hunky-dory and that we shouldn't be trying to throw this bum out of office. We absolutely should. He's one of the worst presidents. It's inconceivable, and all he does is play golf. He absolutely doesn't want to get along with either side. He just wants to stay in power. It's a horrible situation. We've got an amazing opportunity here with energy in this country. We have an entrepreneurial spirit that's still not dead, no matter how much the liberals want to kill it. It's still there, and people do want to create jobs, but they're being held back by beautiful programs like Obamacare. And all the regulations pile on and pile on and pile on. We have this, as you and I talk all the time, right, this pent-up entrepreneurism. It's going to explode one of these days when we get this guy out. But in spite of that, right, corporate profits are at record levels. The cash flows are huge, and we are slightly growing. We should grow faster, but we are still growing a little bit. That's what I'm saying. It's not focusing on a Pollyanna world. It's saying it's not all bad all the time. Not everything is bad.
Our great friend Dave Petso, anything else we should be looking out for this week?
Again, I think this is a lot of this is geopolitical, and keep our eye on whether this Ukrainian peace that they seem to have overnight holds. That's going to hold sway on this market, I believe.
All right, Dave Petso, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks for everything you do.
Now, thank you. Now, what do you five card flush, six hand slot? What do you play when you're at the tables?
I like craps.
Shaken, not stirred.
There's nothing better than a hot craps table. It's just simply fun. It is really fun.
We'll just leave it at a hot craps table.
There you go.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Talking to Kevin Miller.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Every morning. Join the conversation with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Thank you for starting your Monday with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. I do want to remind you, we're very excited once again to be a part of the Flapjack Feed that is brought to you by the United Way of the Treasure Valley. It's a wicked cool event. What do you do? Well, you go down to the Grove. And I know you're saying, Kevin, we're kind of an outlier show. Yes, we love everybody in the City of Trees. We'd love to hang out in the City of Trees. But, you know, Kevin, you live in Star. You know, your wife's business is an Eagle. You used to be a Meridian guy, blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you that the Flapjack Feed is one of my favorite events here. And you're going to say, Kevin, every event is your favorite event locally. No, the Flapjack Feed is cool, and I remember watching it on Channel 7 for years. And we do want to thank our friends at the United Way of Treasure Valley, Channel 7, all the great sponsors, for allowing us, welcoming us into their party. And like I said, it's a fundraiser for the United Way in the Treasure Valley. And you get to see a lot of folks. We'll see our friend Sheriff Rainey. We'll see others. And we'll have a good time. And the Flapjacks, it's like five bones. From what I understand, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, is going to be there. Maybe we'll get Liberal Steve, maybe Tea Party Bob, maybe a few other folks. And that's this Thursday. It starts at 7. Now, we'll be broadcasting there at 5. We'd love to see you. It's a great time. And we have our celebrity Flapjack flipper, Munchai, from our incredible marketing department here. So if you've ever wanted to know what goes on behind the scenes, you can talk to him while he's flipping the pancakes. Not to be flippant, but back to a serious issue, what's going on in Gaza and what it means to us here. Our great friend Emily Wither joining us now from the Middle East. Emily, good morning.
Hi,
Hi, good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Well, you know, we think of you all the time. That's a rough neighborhood you're living in.
Is that a song lyric, or is there any actual truth in that?
That's not a cliche or a song lyric, but.
Thank you very much. Everything is pretty quiet here at the moment. At the moment, though, that could all change, of course, as this deadline comes closer. Midnight local time is when the latest ceasefire is due to expire here.
Emily, what's it like to live in a war zone?
It's actually remarkably normal at times, and I think that's something that has always struck me about living here, but also visiting other parts of the Middle East, which are used to instability, is how easily life can just stop for that split second or those 10 minutes when it needs to, when there's an air raid siren going off or a bomb has happened and people will flatten themselves against a wall or run for cover. And then when the danger has passed, life slowly just picks up again. I mean, it really is incredible. It reminds me actually very much of being in Northern Ireland in the early 90s. And this was also a place where tanks could roll past you out of the blue, or there could be a bomb scare and everyone would have to stop what they were doing. Yet, you know, as soon as that passed, people would start shopping again, or they would, you know, head to the bus station, or just, you know, carry on sipping their coffee in a cafe. And I think that really is what's the most incredible, is how resilient people are, but also the importance that people place on the fact that, you know, life has to carry on and that events just simply cannot stop because there is an ongoing conflict. Just before we got on the call, Kevin, I was looking at a news package that had been put together by my colleague who is in Gaza for the TV side of things, and he had gone to a wedding that had taken place in Gaza just after the shelling had stopped. And this particular wedding was happening inside a UN school where thousands of Palestinians are sheltering because their homes have been destroyed. Yet this wedding still took place. It didn't get cancelled. And I mean, I think that is just a perfect example of how, no matter what is going on here, people do just sort of try and get on with things.
Emily Wither joining us now live from Israel, 580KIDO. What gets me, though, is the violence, the devastation, the injuries have been negligible or minimized. Let me just say minimized in Israel because of the Iron Dome. Emily, what would have happened if the Israelis did not have that defense system?
Well, that's a very frightening question and thought. And I should tell you that people here in Israel are in love with the Iron Dome. And I mean, I'm not even kidding here. Over the last couple of weeks, I've seen many tributes to the Iron Dome where people have posted, you know, silly videos online of them confessing their love to the Iron Dome. People have been praying to the Iron Dome. And, you know, for Israelis, they know that without that piece of technology in place, we could be looking at a very different situation here. When Hamas fires rockets from Gaza into Israel, they are intended to kill. Hamas wants to target heavily populated areas, and that's what they managed to do in the sense that the rockets head in this direction. I've been in Tel Aviv, I've been in Jerusalem, and other built-up areas when rockets have been heading to that city, and the Iron Dome has managed to calculate that the rockets are headed for a populated area, and they've intercepted them in the sky, and you can actually see it happening in some cases. It looks like a kind of misfired firework going off above your head. There'll be a white streak of the rocket and then a very small explosion that lights up the sky, just a tiny bit that shows that interception taking place. And in some instances, shrapnel from the rockets have fallen into towns and cities. And in one case, when it landed in Tel Aviv, I went down to take a look at some of the shrapnel of the rocket, the exploded rocket from the sky. And, you know, this is a lethal rocket that could have hit downtown Tel Aviv, but it didn't. And so, I mean, for the Israelis, that Iron Dome missile defense system has completely changed their lives and has saved millions of lives from, you know, any potential rocket fire.
And yet we have the world or the press going after Israel. What's the Israeli perspective of the folks in Hamas violating the ceasefires, the tunnels, and the perception that Israel is wrong for defending themselves? When you, again, have said, Emily, that these rockets, if they were successful, would be having massive civilian casualties in Israel.
It's just so very complicated. And at the moment, you know, I can tell you from speaking to Israelis here, they feel very angry at how much hate the international community has directed towards them, particularly in Europe, where there have been reports that anti-Semitism is on the rise. Jewish people feel that they're being attacked because of the actions of Israel. And there is a lot of anger around. And you know, I don't think some people here do feel that it's misplaced, but they also feel that Israel's side needs to be remembered, and sometimes it isn't. And it's complicated, because when you look at the figures on paper, you have up to 2,000 Palestinians dead. Most of them are civilians. And then you look at the Israeli side and you have only 3 civilians dead. Yes, you have over 50 soldiers, but they died in combat. You have only 3 civilians. And this obviously is very complicated. You look at that situation and say, wow, that many civilians have been killed while Israel defends itself. How do you get your head around that? And I think the easiest way to look at it is there is no side to be picked here. When Israel carries out airstrikes, civilians get caught in the crossfire, and that's a terrible casualty of war. But at the same time, Hamas does place some of their infrastructure in civilian areas. But then you also have to remember, well, why are the rockets being fired in the first place? Israel has placed the Gaza Strip under a crippling blockade. People are trapped there. It's an open-air prison, and this is their way of fighting back. Well, then you ask, why is the blockade in place? It's because Hamas says they want to destroy Israel. And it's just a vicious circle. It goes round and round and round. And neither side is really in the right. And I think it's too easy in this conflict to pick sides, but instead people should examine the details as opposed to saying they support one side or the other.
And Emily, we ran out of time. We could talk to you forever on this. Please be very careful.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
All right. Our great friend Emily Wither, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning. Your call's next, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to work some
back. Weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome to Monday. Heidi Ho, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to the phones, and we talk to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com. Munns, Tom, Twitter. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, man. Hey, Emily said something really, really cool after all of that. She said that, you know, most people really don't have the understanding and the knowledge of the relationship between Israel and Palestine. And, you know, it's really interesting on when you go on Facebook and social media to be able to find out how adamant people are against each other when few people really understand that relationship. And the other one is whether America should actually be involved and how that equates to our rule of law in this country. So I think that, you know, a lot of it is it's just important to understand, you know, or to be able to ask questions if we don't know. And the average person, since they don't know, how can they fully make a decision, an informed decision? And if we understand the media, if we believe that the media is corrupt and we don't know enough about the situation, then how can the people make an educated, take an educated position on the issues? And yet people are. And so we become more about this idea or these random thoughts where my thought trumps your thought and law doesn't matter.
Well, law doesn't matter, and it's all about opinion. You know, we saw this in the Duke lacrosse case. I experienced it firsthand. I thought those guys, because they were rich and they were white, did it. And we found out that a prosecutor and a disturbed woman who's now in jail for murder would make things up. And, you know, it plays into our biases. You know, when's the last time we ever had a chance to think about things as opposed to just coming up with an opinion and just spewing?
Well, and then, you know, when you know, and I'm not saying I'm a genius. I'm just saying I like to do my homework and I like to ask questions. But, you know, when people...
Tom?
...questioning things or getting angry, you know, like I do...
You know, in the old days, I would swear that it was our East German equipment that allowed this to happen. But I'm starting to think that the NSA, now think about this for a minute. You ever notice when we have like the good people on, all of a sudden bits and pieces of their conversation go missing? I'm starting to think that the NSA has gotten into the regulating of broadcasting, and I don't know what happened to Tom Munns. I didn't touch the controls. And all of a sudden, Tom's gone. Tom, if you're there, I hope they didn't get you. But that's what happens. So I'm just wondering if they just decided they were sick of Tom Munns and they're done. Maybe like they have some giant place. Well, really, there are no conservative talk shows in America at a local level anymore, which is why we're so blessed to be here. But, I mean, maybe they just decided to go, eh, that was it. Stay tuned for details. 64 now in Meridian. Let's get you to traffic. 7:59, 64 in Napa at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, social media. We all love it, but what happens if you have secrets on social media? Is it really possible to keep secrets on Facebook? Plus the latest on Rick Perry and the violence in Ferguson. Could that ever happen in the West? I'd like to hear from you next.
Serving Meridian.